My guest at this time is Leighton Stewart. He's a geologist, he's chairman of Plants Need CO2, and he's the author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise, Global Climate Change 101 for the Non-Scientist. He has also been the one to report lately through columns and other sources, including interviews like this, about a growing number of ex-NASA astronauts, physicists, engineers, and others who have had enough with NASA and its very public case for the conventional wisdom on climate change. They say the empirical data is being ignored, and NASA is not doing anybody any favors by promoting a theory which is unproven. They did not get the response they were hoping for, and Mr. Stewart is here to explain that, as well as a subsequent letter that's been sent out and is very public as well. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg. Happy to be here.
Well, I hope I summarized the case in the first letter relatively well. What kind of response did these astronauts and scientists get in reply from NASA?
Well, they got a reply from Waleed Abdulati, who was NASA's chief scientist, and he said, and I'll quote, "As an agency, NASA does not draw conclusions and issue claims about research findings." Then, Greg, only 8 days later, Abdulati testified before a U.S. Senate committee and said that sea level rise by the end of this century is projected to rise somewhere between 8 inches and about 6 feet. Now, he went on to say that the lower end of that range, the 8-inch range, was less likely, and that the highest values are the commonly considered values. There's a lot of difference between 8 inches, which is what's been going on for the last few centuries in Earth's sea level rise, and then 6 feet, which would clearly be catastrophic. And so he just totally contradicted himself only 8 days later. Now, while all that was happening, the fellow at NASA that everybody really looks to for climate science, this guy James Hansen, was touring Europe, and he was making these other statements. Now, Hansen might have been making the statements as an individual, but because he's the chief climate scientist at NASA, everybody, you know, takes everything that he says as being coming straight from NASA. He said, "Averting human-induced climate change is a great moral issue on par with slavery." He said the latest climate models show that the planet is on the brink of an emergency and that humanity faces repeated natural disasters from climate change, that the science is now crystal clear. Now, that last comment, that the science is now crystal clear, is what really sticks in the throat of these ex-NASA scientists and astronauts and even leaders of the Space Center there in Houston, because they know the science is not settled. Climate science is extremely complex, and the final answer on it is not known except for one thing, as far as I'm concerned, and this is what got this all going to start with. I gave two empirical-based presentations to about 100 of these NASA scientists back, starting about a year ago and then one last fall, and they know that the empirical evidence does not support all these model forecasts of catastrophic climate change. And so that's really an embarrassment to them, and they're afraid that NASA is going to ruin NASA's reputation, the reputation of the current scientists there in NASA, and also these guys that are retired, even, and maybe even the reputation of science itself. So they're real upset about this. They sent another letter back and just really talking mainly about the same thing, and said that the range and imprecision of this conclusion is astounding, the 8 inches to 6 feet. And they said, commonly considered, is NASA now doing its science by a poll of what people commonly think? And anyway, they just went back and said they hope this would be the last exchange of letters, because they think that the take this thing further, that NASA is going to just lose face on the exchange. And so that pretty well sums it up.
Leighton, talk about the empirical data a little bit that you presented to this group and have been studying. It's obviously in contrast to what the scientists who are with NASA, like James Hansen and some of these others that you mentioned, what is the fact? What are the facts on the ground right now?
Well, the empirical evidence that I speak about mostly, because I'm a geologist and a geologist trained to look back at what has happened in the processes on Earth's development and everything, to try to be able to understand why the Earth is like it is today, why the volcanoes are where they are and the earthquakes occur mainly where they do, et cetera. So in trying to use that and apply it to climate science, I went back to see what the Earth's old weather was in the past, a million years ago, 10 million years ago, 500 million years ago. And so this is what I came up with. I said, hey, guys, I said, why would Earth have been warming for 300 years if the Industrial Revolution only happened 150 years ago? You know, what caused it to be warming 300 years ago when man was not putting any significant amount of CO2 into the atmosphere? And that's a piece of empirical evidence. Why did so many of the Earth's major glaciers start melting in about the year 1800, which was a half of a century before the Industrial Revolution? What made those glaciers start melting back then if man wasn't involved? How come the rate of warming from 1910 to the 1940s was even steeper in rise than from the 1980s and 90s when all of this fad of man-made global warming really started getting talked about? Those are just pieces of that. And you can keep going back. You can see 500-year trends of global cooling, 500-year trends of global warming, when the CO2 level hardly changed at all. So those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. And after I gave that presentation, Greg, I'm not trying to tell you that I changed all of these scientists' minds. I think I may have just, you know, put it in a little better perspective for some of them. But they were already upset by what they were seeing coming out of NASA, because they knew that these statements of certainty that man's going to be causing all of these catastrophic climate changes just didn't make sense to them.
And so you mentioned before that you hope and they hope that this is the last correspondence between them. If they don't get a satisfactory response like they didn't after the first letter, what happens then?
Well, what they've done is they have formed a team, and it's got a real neat name because of where it's coming from. Their team to study climate change going forward, that's from all of these old scientists in NASA there, is called the Right Climate Stuff Team. You know, the movie The Right Stuff.
Sure.
Anyway, it was a good takeoff. This team is going to consist of physicists, astrophysicists, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, mathematicians, geologists, geochemists, even a couple of meteorologists and a climatologist. And a lot of these guys have PhDs. Because they're doing this voluntarily and nobody's getting paid to do it, their team is just going to reek of objectivity. And so I think the whole world is going to be real interested in what this team comes up with as to whether they think what is being bandied around about catastrophic climate changes in the future really make any sense at all when one goes in and studies this in great detail.
Leighton, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for updating the story. We appreciate it.
You bet, Greg. Nice to talk to you again.
Same to hear, sir. Leighton Stewart, geologist, chairman of Plants Need CO2, author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise, Global Climate Change 101 for the Non-Scientist. He also wrote on this in an opinion piece for the Washington Times, which you should be able to find online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.